morning's scripture comes from two places, first from Isaiah and then from Ephesians. It is the New Living Translation today. Follow on the screens, you can follow on the app, in your own Bible, or you can simply listen as I share it with you. So there's no justice among us, and we know nothing about right living. We look for light, but find only darkness. We look for bright skies, but walk in gloom. We grope like the blind along a wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. Even at brightest noontime, we stumble as though it were dark. Among the living, we are like the dead. We growl like hungry bears. We moan like mournful doves. We look for justice, but it never comes. We look for rescue, but it's far away from us. And then in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises that God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope, but now you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. For Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in His own body on the cross He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of His death on the cross. And our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from Him and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. Well, welcome to part two of our four-part conversation about the power of story and the significance that stories have upon our lives. Last week, we began by telling God's story, because God is the creator, and every other story that's ever been told is found within God's story. But today we turn to focus on what I call their story. And by that I mean they are those who are living life without knowing what God has for them, without understanding that God is here seeking them and wanting to draw them into relationship with Him. So handling all the pressures of life and all the wounds and all that life has to do with us, upon us, handling it all by themselves. I mean, handling it all by themselves. They didn't know there's someone else who can lift that. The stories of people who are living on the outside, looking in. You heard the scriptures that we were all outsiders once. Through Christ, we have been reconciled to God. We've got a glimpse of the stark, painful image when it talks about being sightless people groping along a wall, trying to find our way, walking in shadows and half light. Pretty bleak kind of image as we seek for rightness in an unjust world that surrounds us. Well, I've really struggled with how to communicate what I want to say today because of the tightness of the time, and we've We've celebrated those who come before us and the saints. We will have communion, which is always more important than I can say. But I also want to talk about their story. So it occurred to me, that old saying, that a picture is worth a thousand words. So maybe we'll do something a little different this morning and see if that will help. I want to have a demonstration, and I've asked a volunteer. I've asked Jason Greenlee, if he's still in the room and hasn't changed his mind. Jason, would you come up here? Would you give Jason a hand? And Jared, you come up too. Just stand up here for a minute, Jason. When I greeted him, he said, hey, how you doing? And I said, fine, I need to talk to you. And he said, why? And I said, how's your back? He looked at me and he said, okay. And your shoulders? He said, I don't know for sure. What do you want? And I told him, what you see here, and Jared, go ahead and begin. He's going to help Jason get all these things somehow on Jason's frame. There's backpacks and suitcases and duffels and that kind of thing. And they're all, and the pink is because Jason is so confident of who he is, he doesn't worry about gender stereotypes, so he can do that.
These are not empty.
No, they aren't. In those bags, you'll find cans and boxes of food that will be donated to the pantry yet today. And a couple of other things that just weigh a lot. You okay?
Yep.
Sure.
Yep.
Okay. You might want to sit down and be there for him or stand near him to help him. But every one of those things symbolizes something that we carry in our lives. Things that we struggle with, from things that are intimate and nobody knows, to things that we share in lots of places. People who struggle with their financial insecurities, their jobs, or underemployment, or no employment. That's a can that goes in the bag. Their relationships with siblings, or spouses, or parents, or neighbors that become destructive and dysfunctional. That kind of can goes in the bag. Hopelessness, helplessness, angers, bitterness, woundedness from the past when somebody has abused them. That goes in the bag. And it goes on and on and on. And if we had time and I asked each one of you to name, you could all name for me 10 things nobody else would name. And they all get piled up in our lives. And they go into our suitcases and our backpacks and our duffel bags, and we carry them. Sometimes we carry them because they're things we want. I work hard for those things. They're mine. Sometimes we carry them because they're things that have happened in our lives and they've affected who we are. But when we think about their story, those people who don't know about Christ, what God has done for them, that God has brought to them this hope to be having strength to work through this and not carry this alone, when they don't have that awareness, they have no one else to help them. And the interesting thing is that in the shame, and shame, by the way, is on a bunch of those little cans, the embarrassment is that we work really hard having all these things in our backpacks to hide it from everybody else. Everybody else thinks that we got it all together. You know? We do that because we think everybody else has got it all together. Let's take a moment. Reality check. If you've got it all together, raise your hand. We have one. And I know him well, and you know what? He probably does. But most of us don't. We have our own backpacks and suitcases and duffel bags that we carry around. And their story is not because they have those things and we don't, because we all have it. And life is difficult for all of us, but their story is unique and painful because they don't know they have somebody else who will help them carry it. How you doing, Jason?
Good.
Okay. I'm going to owe you for this, aren't I? Their story is about their weariness, yes. Loss of sleep, over worry, loss of peace, over woundedness, loss of hope because they have no idea where it's going to come from, this deliverance. because they won't reach out to help. In fact, they can't reach out to help because my hands are full. And if a person comes by and says, here, take my hand, well, I'd love to, but I can't. My hands are full. I don't want you to know they're full, so I'm doing fine. One of the most often told lies in the world is, I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. Because I don't want to tell you. I don't want to recite it again. I don't want to show you that I don't have it all together. Because I'm sure you're fine. And if I'm not, there's something wrong with me. Because the world's supposed to make sense. And if there's something wrong with me, then I'm inferior. Because I really want the world to make sense. And if you got it all together and I don't, there's something wrong with me. Maybe it's karma. Well, that's a different faith system, but maybe, you know what I'm talking about. You know the old saying, what goes around comes around? Well, if I'm experiencing all this, what did I send around to deserve this? And their story is not about difficult things. Their story is about the hopelessness that comes because they don't know anybody else who can walk beside them to help them, lift them up, and give them strength to carry it through. How you doing? Okay. I thought this was a great idea until I started putting things together. And I said, boy, this is heavy just for me putting them together. I don't want to be the guy to carry them. But Jason is such a willing fellow. He won't say yes next time. Well, that's their story. And it only differs from ours because we now know something they don't. Because you see, in Ephesians, it says we used to all be the outsiders. We used to all have these same difficulties and not know there was somebody who had reconciled the world to himself. And we can reach out and appreciate because that used to be us. Anybody feeling bad for Jason by now? They're nice folks. I'm almost there. We don't want to see somebody hurt, struggle. We don't want to, and we're moved by that in our compassion. And that's where our story comes in, but that's for next week. You know, it occurs to me that if we're telling their story, we're done right here. And are you on vacation this week? You ought to be here all week long carrying this until we can tell our story next week and tell you how it gets fixed. But I won't make you do that. Well, somebody in the room, not Pastor Jared, somebody in the room who feels compassion for Jason, come up here and help him take his things off here. Right now. Who'll do that? Oh, well, it could take more than one person, Glenn. Here comes a second. Oh, here comes his sons and his daughter. Don't drop it on your toes, kids. And you just lay him right down there, it's fine. Jeez, it's heavy. How you doing, Jason? You can put them all down, folks, and go back to your seats. Jason, tell me, how did it feel to do this physically?
It was work.
Okay. How did it feel psychologically? People staring at you the whole time, carrying your stuff.
Stressful.
Okay. Okay. Would you do it again if I asked you to? Thank you, brother. Would you greet Jason again? Come here. Come here. Come here. Really appreciate that. That's an oversimplified picture, but it's an image of the reality that people in their story experience because they don't know there's anybody else who can, and they're afraid to acknowledge. They live separated from those who might walk with them and share the burden and lift it from them. And they don't even realize there is one who has the power to do what all of us can't. And that's God and his love for that person. And our story, which is next week's conversation, begins to address their lives to bring them to someplace new. Now, you're going to, this week, receive, at least most of you are, a packet from the church. And if you don't get one and you want one, we'd be happy to provide it for you. In the packet, as we're involved in this stewardship series, you'll find several things, a letter from me inviting you to participate. You'll find a double-sided piece of paper with a bunch of stories that are people whose lives have been impacted by ministries of this church in the last 12 months. In fact, people whose stories, whose lives have had some of their backpacks taken off. And you'll have several things that we're asking you to consider. And I want to invite you over this next several days, when you receive that packet, whether you're a coffee drinker or tea or it's something else, go somewhere where you can be quiet for a little while, read the materials, and pray. And ask God what it is he wants you to do as you invest in ministries that change lives. You see, your generosity makes those ministries possible. Your generosity in this congregation helps us find all the Jasons who come to us and see clearly what it is they're carrying and help them pull those off in their lives and set them free from that and walk with them as we let our story enter their story. So they find God's story to set them free. Your participation with hands-on investment, as you've heard in some of the videos last Sunday and this Sunday, and you've told stories of your own, your participation in financial investment in those ministries make it possible. And frankly, without your financial support, many of those ministries that we talk about won't be able to continue. And we can sit where we've sat and we can watch Jason and say, boy, that's awful. And we can do a little bit, but we can't do as much as we can all together. And the Jasons of the world go on carrying the burden until they implode and collapse. I would share with you our story, but that's for next week. For this week, pray that God would bless the Jasons of the world to bring them into our circles. We might look for them as we meet them every day and care for them and invite them into other things that we're doing that would help unburden them in their lives. We're going to share in Holy Communion. And what a model for God coming to take the backpacks and duffels and suitcases off our shoulders as we celebrate Holy Communion, remembering that the Christ died on our behalf.